Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Yes, Bogogo, I'm telling you, waiti barafa bina emonati. Imvuselelo enkulu iyeza right here on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, and they brought us to exactly 10 after 7. Thank you once again for tuning in. As promised, we are speaking now to Pastor Nobuntu Webster. I don't know whether am I giving you your right title there. Are you a pastor or prophet or prophetess? Yeah, so unfortunately, I didn't ask you how to address you. The title that I should call you, Pastor,
Apostle, no,
Prophet.
I am Nobuntu Webster.
Nobuntu Webster. Oh, okay, Nobuntu, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I can't complain, ma'am. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, first and foremost, I am a believer. I'm a child of God. I'm a marketplace leader, a business leader. I'm an author of a book called The Fire in My Bones. So my
What's the book called again?
The book is called The Fire in My Bones.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
The book is called The Fire in My Bones. So on the work side, my work is really around economic development, building economic development in different spaces. In communities and amongst, you know, previously marginalized groups like youth and young women in various sectors. So that is my work. But my book, The Fire in My Bones, is really what I would call a spiritual memoir. It is a book about burning religion, really, and going back to Christ, going back to what Christ came to do, who he called us to be, going back to the kingdom and kind of dismantling the things that have moved us away from Christ and more into institutions and rituals and religion. So that's what the book is about. It's my second book.
Wow. What's your first one?
My first book is called Perfectness, Perfect Grace, and it is a Christian novel that was released in 2015.
Wow.
And
every time I hear the word novel, I can't help but think about these big books. You know what I'm saying? With 1,050 pages.
No, this one was not like that. It's very easy to consume. And I mean, by the grace of God, it became a bestseller, and it was something that, you know, was not really done. You know, I at least don't know of a Christian novel written by a black woman in South Africa. So yeah, that was the first book that I wrote. And then the second one is quite different.
Wow.
In that it is, you know, it is quite intense. It's quite direct. Define my bones.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's Nobuntu Webster right here. I almost forgot to ask you this question. That actually makes me to be at ease, and of course to be, you know, able to flow with my the people that I interview. Okay, my guests.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you hail from?
Where do I hail from?
Yeah.
Oh, I hail from Durban, eThekwini, and I'm actually currently in Durban.
I made a mistake there. Normally, when I talk to people from KZN and Zulu speaking people, talk about, oh, and now I know where the whole mistake came from. It's because of your surname, Webster. Otherwise, if I knew that you are Mtimkulu, I would have asked you to share with us your clan name or clan names.
My clan name. My married name is Webster, but my husband is Zulu. So he's a Zulu Webster. My maiden name is Hlazo. And Hlazo is it is a Xhosa surname, but I grew up in KZN. So my father's Xhosa, my mother's Zulu. So I call myself a Xhosa.
Oh, I see.
I call myself a Xhosa. Got an Zulu Paka.
I know, because you can't help because you are in KZN. Otherwise, they won't hear you. They won't want to hear you when you try to.
Otherwise, they will never want to hear me.
Okay, let me. I just have to let that one go. I mean, I know that. I don't want to get you into trouble. Otherwise, yeah. I know that you. Like we are into what do you call that, clan names and all of that, but this
clan name,
yeah. And the husband is the one to blame because he made matters worse.
He made it more complicated.
Yeah, otherwise he would have maybe recited his clan names and his tagazelo sagibo. How do you say this sagibo, ne?
Sagibo.
But hey. Next time, I'll do it perfectly there. So now we're talking about called out. Tell us more about that.
So, you know, as I wrote my book, The Find My Bones, there were many things that I was discovering. You know, I really wanted to discover God's design. You know, I wanted to discover God's design for us as his people, but also then I wanted to discover God's design for us, you know, as the church, when Jesus then came, and then we were birthed and we were cleaned into the kingdom of God, what of God's design? And I really started studying the church and what the church is. And the called out is actually the name for the church. It's ecclesia. Ecclesia, when directly translated, means the called out one. So the ek means out of or from, and the ekklesia means, or kalua means to call. So then ekklesia becomes those who are the called out ones. And I think that really, really, the more I studied the word and what it meant, it really started to shift for me who we are and what we are supposed to be doing. And, you know, what the call is on us as people of God. So there was an assembly back in the day. So when Jesus referred to the church, in that whole time, only three times was he referring to the church as what we know it now, you know, as the gathering or as the temple or as the building. All the time when he was talking about the church, he was talking about ecclesia, the called out ones. And, you know, back in those days, what that meant was that for most day-to-day important decisions for a town or a village or a city, there would be an assembly called, who would be called out of their normal routine in order to shape the behavior and actions of the community. So when the original people heard Jesus calling about talking about ecclesia and calling the people who would follow him and who would come to the Father through him, ecclesia, what would have come to their mind was a gathering of people in a community who come and make decisions about a community and who come and chart the way forward for a community, a city, a nation. And so that really, really challenged me. It really shifted my thinking. And I thought, so what Jesus, Yeshua, was actually calling us and what he was expecting of us was for us to come out, you know, because we're called out, but for us to come out from the normal routine, from the normal way things are done, from the normal day-to-day things, and come together and start to form a new way.
Just to interrupt you there, please help me to understand. So in a nutshell, it means we are called out. So the called must respond to the calling and by coming out. So he's not just calling us, he's calling us out of something. So we don't just need to come, but we need to come out of something to him. Am I understanding you well there?
You are absolutely understanding me well. And that is for me what changed the whole thing, is that he was not just calling us, but he was calling us out of. So he was saying, come out of the way that you would usually do things. You know, come out of how things are normally done. Come out of a routine and start to establish a new way of doing things. Start to establish new norms in community and in society. Start to establish new behaviors. And, you know, there's a scripture at that talks about some of the disciples getting arrested, and Jason was one of them. And the reason they were arrested was that they were all defying Caesar's decrees, and that they were saying there's another king, and this king's name was Jesus. So they were coming out of that world and the decrees of that world and how that world works, and they were saying, no, we have another king, and we're doing things differently. So today, when you think about us as a church, I think, I mean, what would we get arrested for? We'd get arrested for meeting, maybe, but what is our meeting doing? You know, it's not changing anything. It's not disrupting anything for the most part. The disciples were getting arrested because they were changing society. They were changing the way community did things. They were changing the language of the day. They were changing the behavior. They were saying, no, we don't follow these decrees. We've got a new king, and we've got a new way of doing things. And they were starting to say, actually, this is what must happen in society, and this is how people must behave in society. And they were starting to behave and do things that way themselves.
Okay, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, now we hear you. We hear you.
Yeah,
we're talking about the called out, or the called out ones, with Nobantu Webster right here on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Now, do you think that had we known who we are based on the biblical, you know, definition of what the church is? Because in most cases, I was so actually disappointed many years back when I looked for the word, looked the word up in the dictionary, the word church. I saw it on the Oxford Dictionary. They were saying, they talked about the building, the building, this kind of a building and all that. But it looks like the believers today see themselves as such building, or the church as that building that they need to be in it 24/7. And yes, and yet the Bible doesn't talk about the building when it talks about the church. I think maybe we need to go back to the original words of how the believers were addressed, and go there and get the meaning of those words. Because if you just go to some of the words and the names that I believe are watered down a bit. I know you are a student of the word. I can sense that one. Do you understand with me that most of the titles, most of the names, and most of the things are watered down? Even when you look them up in the latest dictionaries, they are saying something different from what you are telling us now. So do you think now that if had we known who we are, that we are the called out ones, and the other meaning could be the assembly, and the assembly is one powerful word which talks about the people that make decisions, that the rulers, people of authority. Do you think that we'd be doing things differently had we known this all this time?
Yeah. You know, I just actually got goosebumps when you talk about, when you said the ones who make decisions. Because I believe that if we knew that, if we knew that our assembly, this assembly, when we come together to assemble, I think if we had known that we are an assembly that makes decisions, as you're saying, if we knew the meaning of the word, I think things would be so different. I think we would understand that when we meet, yes, we are there to edify one another and to grow, but we are also there to declare things. And we are also there when we assemble to decide and make decisions about, here is what needs to happen in this town, in this community, in this nation. Here is what needs to happen. We are agreeing on this, we are standing on this, and we are empowering each other, that we are coming out spirit-filled. We're coming out right now. We're gonna come out when we finish this assembly. We are moving out into the spaces that we're in, and we're gonna live out this decision that is kingdom-based, this kingdom-based decision that we have heard from Father. You know, this word that we've heard from Father, this instruction we've heard from Father, we are going to go out into the community after this assembly, having decreed and established it, and we're going to go out and we're going to live it, and we're going to, and this is the pattern that we are going to set up when we come out of here. I think if we knew that, things would be so different. You know, when lockdown happened, I had such a sense, and it was a sense that it was something God wanted to do, but it was also such a prayer that our hearts would not be hard, and we would receive and see what was happening and what God was doing, in that we were being taken out of this mentality that you speak of the church being a building. I believe so strongly that we were being moved out of that, and we were being taken out of that mentality. And God was reminding us who we are as the ecclesia. God was reminding us who we are as the kingdom, that we are not a building. That, you know, that is not how we're defined, that we are salt, we are light, we go out into the world and we are God flavors. You know, as the salt, we go out and we are the flavors of God that go in and just, you know, and just change the way the world tastes and the way the world is. I believe that this is what we were being reminded through this pandemic. And I hope we've caught it. I really hope we've grasped it. I hope that when we go in the next few weeks, those who will be assembling and assemble for the Passover, I hope that it will be to establish, to decree, to enrich and empower one another to go out and back into the spaces that we're in and live as the called up ones and do what God has called us to do in those spaces.
But what is it that we need to do going forward? And I know that this won't just happen overnight. We're where we are today because we had what we had, you know, over and over again, and then we ended up believing that. But for us to get out of that rut, we need to hear these kinds of message over and over again. I don't know how many times, and unfortunately sometimes it won't be us that get out of that, because maybe the damage is too bad to the extent that we won't be able to believe any other things, like we are the Pharisees and the Sadducees of today that resist the truth, that resist the change, because we have been fed the lies for so many years. What is it that needs to be done? I think people like you are the ones that should come with this new revival. I'm saying the word revival because sometimes we think revival is just when people fall down. But revival comes with the truth. People speaking the truth, and then that revival comes. People accepting the truth, and then their lives changed based on the truth that they are hearing and that they are accepting there. I know to say people that have been preaching all these things for many years to expect them to come up with something new or to do something to do things otherwise, I'd be deceiving myself and I'd be lying to people there. But now people like you that know the truth, that are there to awaken the church for who the church is, what is it that needs to be done?
This is the revival. You know, I really want to discourage us as believers for waiting for tents to pitch and for revival to look like how we've always seen it looking like, because our God is incredibly dynamic, and this is revival. What God has started to reveal to us, what God has started to do in taking us back to Him and who He is, this is revival. And what we need to do going forward is to go back to this word, that those who worship will worship in spirit and in truth. A time is coming when those who worship will worship in spirit and in truth. And to worship is to, when you look at the original Greek and when you study these words, I love that you spoke about words, maybe because I'm an author. And maybe because I'm someone who also has a media business, I am incredibly passionate about words, and I love that you spoke about words. We need to get to the understanding of words. We need to go back and understand what words meant, because some of the things are not as rich in the English language, and because in our own languages, you know, scripture, the Bible was translated from Greek, from English, I mean, and not directly from Greek. We then, or from Hebrew, we then, you know, also may have lost, you know, some of the deep and rich meanings of words. In that scripture, to worship means to bow to authority. And I think, you know, that is the first part of it. We need to bow down to the ultimate authority, not bow down to the institution that we have created, not to bow down to the procedures that we have created, not to bow down to world standards and the way the world does things and be copying the way the world does things. We need to bow down to the ultimate authority, that is the God of the Bible, that is Yahweh, that is Adonai.
Yes.
That is the first thing we need to do. The second thing we need to do is to worship in spirit, and to worship in spirit is to worship as led by God.
Okay.
And so we need to be led by God. And lastly, we need to worship in truth, which is, in that scripture, if you look at the word again, it means revelation. In truth is the revelation or the revealing of things. We need to seek revelation, the revealing of exactly who God would have us be in this day and age.
Nobundu, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it right there. But hey, you have actually revived us.
You have
empowered us, and the message is so powerful that even the dogs in the background are barking. Yo, it's so powerful, I'm telling you. Hey, they're barking in Zulu. They're barking in Zulu.
Excuse our dog.
They're barking in Zulu there in the background. Ma'am, thank you very much for your time. That's Nobundu Webster on Radio Pulpit. Thank you very much. And send our greetings to Mr. Webster and the little Websters there.
I will do that. Thank you so much for the time.
All right. That's Nobundu Webster on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. There you heard her there. Revival is with us. But the question is, are we aware of that? And are we seeing it? And are we receiving it? Or are we resisting it?
It's difficult to face the overwhelming pressures of life alone. Sometimes we just need someone to talk to, someone to listen to us. And what better way to do that than through a quick and easy WhatsApp text? Whether you're having a hard time coping with school, family issues, being bullied, depression, or anxiety, speak to someone who cares today. Send a WhatsApp message to 064-530-6805. Or 074-995-9085. Our I Am Youth Counseling team, Charles DeToy and Danny Vambili, are ready to connect with you today.
Reach your customers in the car, at the office, at home, or wherever they are, night or day. Through advertising with Radio Pulpit, you can reach a large, unique and loyal audience in a most affordable way. With over 500,000 people on our various platforms, from Gauteng to the Cape, you simply cannot go wrong. So advertise today. Contact us on 012-334-1339. Or for advertising packages that we offer, go to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Terms and conditions apply.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.